want to start out with this passage from 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan, Saul's son, said to his young armor-bearer, "Come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." So my message this morning is my two cents can go a long way in the right hands. Now, Jerry has described very aptly our need to cultivate courage and persistence to follow the obedient example of Mattathias and his sons, the Maccabees. I would like to continue the idea of our need to develop certain godly attributes, especially humility. By humility, I mean things like learning to rely on the Lord more than on our own strategies, learning to admit our own weaknesses, learning to embrace our smallness, and learning to grow in our faith. Because the God of Israel sometimes pulls surprises for his people. But sometimes the greatest victories come through great adversity. Take, for example, Samuel Morse. Samuel F.B. Morse was born into a preacher's home in New England just 2 years after George Washington was elected the first president of the United States. After finishing his education at Yale, Morse went to England to hone his painting skills. That was really what was in his heart, to be an artist. Upon his return to America, he was recognized as a gifted artist and was soon in much demand. In fact, he was given a commission to do a painting in Washington, D.C. But his first wife died while he was away from home painting in Washington, D.C. He didn't get the news about her sickness until it was too late. In his heartbreak, he turned away from painting and began trying to develop a means of rapid communication over great distances, hoping to prevent other people from suffering the same kind of heartbreak. This eventually led to his invention of the telegraph. Despite his fame and the many honors that came his way, Morse wasn't proud or boastful. In a letter to his second wife, he wrote this: "The more I contemplate this great undertaking, the more I feel my own littleness, and the more I perceive the hand of God in it, and how he has assigned to various people their duties, he being the great controller, all others his honored instruments." Well, the theme of what I'd like to talk about is this. Hanukkah is a holiday which reinforces a central and recurring biblical theme. And what is that theme? That God delights to give victory to the humble, the weak, the few, and the unlikeliest of people. Let's talk about victory through humility. What it means to rely on the Lord. You know, there's wisdom in the saying that fortune favors the prepared. All things being equal, success is far more likely to come to people who work diligently and in a disciplined way than those who are lazy and procrastinate. But there are times when, through no fault of their own, adverse circumstances outside their control has the deck stacked against a person, or in the case of a nation, overwhelming forces are arrayed against them. And that was the state of affairs in Israel under Syrian Greek domination. What then? Well, there is a documented history of God coming through, both for individuals and for nations, when they called upon him in otherwise impossible situations. Many such occasions are recorded in Scripture, God granting amazing victories to Israel against insurmountable odds, as proved to be the case in the Maccabean revolt against Antiochus. Historians estimate the Seleucid army of Antiochus at that time to have numbered between 45 and 50,000. The Maccabean forces, at the very most, no more than a few thousand. Our people were vastly outnumbered, outmatched, and outgunned, like a young David facing off against a 9'6" Goliath. And the very fact that today, nearly 2,200 years later, we celebrate a Jewish holiday and most people have never even heard of a Seleucid, that tells us that putting our trust in Adonai is a very good idea. But what does humility look like on a day-to-day basis? Most of us are not having to go to war. How do you relate to the living God daily? Or do you? It's one thing to acknowledge God's existence, and not everyone does. But apart from that, do you thank him for the good that's in your life? Or are you taking full credit for it? Do you have friends? Do you have a stable job? Is there a roof over your head? Food on the table? Are there people who love you? Are there activities you enjoy? Are you in relatively good health? Not everyone can say yes to all those things. If you can say yes to even most of those things, then consider that a victory. And the right and humble thing to do daily is to let Adonai know that you appreciate it. As Rabbi Paul wrote to Titus, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's another kind of victory, victory through weakness, when we admit our own insufficiency. One of the most incredible moments in all of Israel's history was when Judah and Jerusalem were about to be invaded, attacked by the combined forces of Moab and Ammon, together with other hired mercenaries. And King Jehoshaphat, who was a righteous man, gathered the people from all across Judah at the temple, and they humbly sought God's help. King Jehoshaphat concluded his prayer with these words. Listen to this. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Do you know how that turned out? Our people went out the next day as God instructed, sang from the Psalms, and when they arrived, there was no battle to be fought because God had caused the Moabite army and the Ammonite army to turn on each other and kill each other. Not a single Israeli arrow was fired. Not a single Israeli sword was even lifted up. And we had the victory because in his righteousness, Jehoshaphat called on the Lord for his deliverance. And all because our people admitted our weakness and our dependence on Adonai. Are you willing to admit to God your own weaknesses? Or, like so many in our culture, do you try to project strength and self-sufficiency? Any recovering addict will tell you that the road to recovery doesn't even begin until you honestly admit you have a problem. And the scriptures tell us that the road to wisdom doesn't even begin until you have Yirat Adonai, proper reverence, the fear of the Lord. The good news is when you honestly confess to him your weaknesses, he delights to give you his strength. And that is where you begin to experience victory. Well, there's another kind of victory. There's victory through our smallness. In Isaiah 55, hear these words. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares Adonai. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Much of what we value in this world is actually in opposition to the values of the kingdom of God. Human beings tend to define success by larger numbers, better ratings, a bigger following. We pursue popularity, and God would have us pursue faithfulness. But when your values diverge from the values of the world around you, when you want to do things God's way, expect to be in a minority. And don't expect any accolades. In fact, there's an inevitable amount of misunderstanding, ridicule, and opposition that is part of the package, part of the deal, when you give God first priority in your life. And let's face it, many people are not going to understand that. And some will even feel threatened by it. And when you openly affirm your faith that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah, particularly if you're Jewish, it is a given that you will be treated as an outcast. 2,000 years of tradition isn't easily overcome. But I want to go a step further. And I want to say that it's a mistake to pursue credibility in the first place, especially with those who don't share our faith. In fact, the pursuit of people's approval is the opposite of Yirat Adonai, the fear of the Lord. It is called Yirat Adam, the fear of man. And it's the fast track to moral failure and self-imposed slavery. I'm telling you, if you are determined to win the approval of others, you will never be free. You will inevitably make moral compromises, and you will never be free to speak and act from your heart, because you'll always be worried about what the other person thinks of you. So you'll find yourself second-guessing every decision, second-guessing every word you speak. That's not freedom. But there is a wonderful freedom that comes with embracing your smallness, recognizing that you're part of a minority, even a hated minority, accepting your outcast status. First of all, if you hadn't noticed this morning, you're not alone. We're in good company. Now, we may be a minority, but we are in this together. That makes us a very special, very intentional family. And when we accept that we are a remnant, we will be free to speak and to act in good conscience. And there's no more refreshing feeling, no more greater freedom than to simply be able to speak and to act in good conscience. We need a heavenly perspective. We need to balance our daily decisions with the knowledge that both heaven and hell are real places. And it will be much better for us to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," even though here in this world we were despised, than to have the applause and the prestige, to be flattered and acclaimed by people who, as often as not, have an agenda, by the way, only to step into eternity and hear Yeshua say, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Let's embrace our anonymity, our smallness here in this world, knowing that our names are recorded in heaven. Let that be sufficient. And then finally, victory through surprise. Recognizing that, you know, God has ways of doing things. I put the wrong thing there. We are outcasts. We are remnants. But God pulls surprises. I want us to remember that the Word of God is replete with plot twists. God acting on behalf of those who are weak, who are outnumbered, who are despised, and giving them incredible victories over the strong and the numerous and the popular. If you think about it, earthly kings have sought multiple times in vain to extinguish the promise of redemption. Pharaoh and all his armies failed to destroy Moses. Herod and all his armies failed to destroy Yeshua. Haman and all of the authority he carried failed to destroy Mordecai. We experience victory when we remember God's gracious dealings with Israel, and especially the way he comes through for the faithful little remnant of believers in her midst. He is a God of surprise outcomes, a God who gives victory to the most unlikely of people. Dwight L. Moody was the most famous evangelist in the world in his day, in the late 1800s. And people were coming from all around the world to hear him preach at his Bible conferences in Northfield, Massachusetts. One year, there was a large group of pastors that came over from Europe, and they were among the attendees. Now, they were given rooms at the dormitory of the Bible school, and as was the custom in Europe, the men, these pastors, put their shoes outside the doors of their room before they went to sleep, expecting them to be cleaned and polished by servants during the night. That's what they were accustomed to in Europe. Now, of course, there were no servants in the American dorm, but what happened was that evening, when everybody was asleep, Dwight Moody began walking the halls and praying for everybody. And as he walked through the halls praying, he saw the shoes, and he recognized what had happened. He understood. And he mentioned the problem to a few of his students. Nobody offered to help. And so without another word, this great evangelist gathered up the shoes and took them back to his own room, and he cleaned and polished them. Now, Moody didn't tell anybody what he had done, but a friend who happened to interrupt him in the midst of all this later told the story of what happened. Despite the fame that he received because of God's blessing on his life and ministry, Moody remained a humble man. And there's a lesson for us in him not trying to be something great, but to learn humility, to embrace smallness, to be content. You know, through an old childless man named Abraham, God created a chosen nation. Through a timid young man, a young timid man named Gideon, leading just 300 men, God gave Israel victory over an entire Midianite army. Through just two men, Jonathan and his armor bearer, God gave victory over a large Philistine garrison. Through one man, Elijah, and him outnumbered by 850 false prophets, God gave victory on Mount Carmel. From a young boy's lunch, Yeshua fed over 5,000 people. And from the smallest of seeds, a mustard seed, a great tree grows. So again, let me restate our theme. Hanukkah is a holiday which reinforces a central and recurring biblical theme, namely that God delights to give victory to the humble, the weak, the few, and the unlikeliest of people. So enjoy being a small potato. And as a bonus, enjoy the potato latkes.